The Social Speech, Episode 8. I'm Rob Cottingham. This is where we look at how the newest communication technologies are transforming the oldest, public speaking. Over the next few weeks, I'm talking with some of the smartest public speakers, speech writers, communicators, and event professionals I know about how they're dealing with social media, the obstacles and opportunities, and maybe what the future holds. Nancy Duarte is, well, she's a hero of mine. And not just because of her work with Al Gore on An Inconvenient Truth. A lot of us talk about the idea of using story to craft a speech. But she has turned that into this amazingly effective methodology. And instead of keeping it to herself, the Duarte design secret sauce, she's put it out there into the world in two absolutely fantastic books. Slideology, which looks at the visual side of presenting. Honestly, if you read this, you'll never look at PowerPoint the same way again. And then there's Resonate, and it's more about the underlying story, although still very visual. And it can genuinely change the kind of speaker or speechwriter that you are. Seriously, hit pause and either make yourself a to-do to drop by your local bookstore or go online right now and order them both. They're that good. All done? Okay, then let's talk to Nancy. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me a little bit about how you found social media affecting the kind of work that you do here at Duarte.
On the client side, we're seeing huge impact before, during, and after their presentation. So before they present, obviously they're going in all the social media channels to get people to attend the event or to talk about the event. Once they get the traffic there and they're in the room, we're doing things for clients like live sketching. We do these like Twitter-sized sound bites of, you know, what we see as we synthesize it and send them out as tweets. Clients will actually tweet the slides themselves to keep the conversations going if they did a good job. Otherwise, we don't recommend that. But there's ways to amplify your message during the talk. Most interesting, though, is if you do a really great job on the talk, your talk itself can become a social media object that can circulate around afterwards. We call that the TED effect, where they just travel and it just gets shared like crazy. So there is a bigger payoff today to doing a good job on a presentation than there ever used to be.
I guess the high watermark for that is the Steve Jobs commencement speech.
Yeah, absolutely. It was amazing. It's a good speech.
So does it basically come down to still telling a really good story?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing spreads that doesn't have some sort of appeal to it. And the thing that's great about stories is the emotional appeal. So really pulling story framework, story form, really using contrast to create that sense of tension and release all makes for a great talk. A lot of people don't know how to do that. They're kind of scared by the word story. But it's really, really important.
A lot of people think of story and they think anecdote.
Right.
I imagine you have something a little more profound, right, and primal in mind.
Right. A little more primal. Anecdotes are important. I think they actually can keep your talk at a heightened sense if you sprinkle them through. But what's interesting is I did study great speeches, great communications. We've done hundreds of thousands of presentations here over 22 years. And I discovered a story pattern that the greatest communicators use. And if you tie this pattern in, it is all steeped in a story framework, but nobody had ever seen it before. There's that kind of that tension and release of story that if you do that enough, it does keep the audience with quite a bit more bated breath than should you not have this kind of form of contrast throughout your talk. So, those are the things that will help it go viral and help it stay interesting.
Do you find at all that audiences are beginning to participate more in what the speech ends up being, whether it's via the back channel or crowdsourcing or the conversation afterwards?
I definitely think the crowd controls the outcome. And I think that's the problem, is a lot of presenters think, I'm the one with the message. You know, there may be the prophet that came down with the tablets, but the people need to run with it. And if the people don't run with it, the vision will die. And so I think the sense of making sure that you're connecting to the very people that will either become a carrier of what you believe or they'll completely and utterly reject you, they have 100% control of the outcome.
Are there ways that you try to build that in and try to amplify the impact that they can have?
Yeah, the obvious easy thing is that some of us forget to do is to make it really clear what the call to action is. You know, I that was originally the thesis of my whole book, and it boiled down into four very simple ways that you can have a call to action. There really is a finite set of asks that you can ask a client or an audience to do. But I think the way to get them to respond to you is to connect with them. We spend an enormous amount of time just getting to know who the audience is, just really understanding them, really knowing who they are, really understanding where they hang out in life and on the web. What do they care about? How much do they make? Like, what's on their mind? And really researching that and really feeling like when you show up to talk to them, you know them. And when you talk to someone like you know them, you have empathy for them, you talk to them like they're a friend. And so often that's not the way it's done. And people want to be liked and they want to feel a two-way conversation with the presenter. And all of that kind of researching helps you connect to them in a more empathetic and make an emotional connection, which is very important.
One of the chief messages from Resonate is the idea of making the audience the hero of your story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's very much in keeping with what a lot of us talk about around social media, the way that it flattens hierarchies and the people we used to think of the audience are now participants.
Right.
Are you finding that that's increasingly part of the dynamic of the
presentations? Yeah, I think so, because, well, the other thing now, finally, is the audience has a voice. They used to be, you know, two people in the same room, be totally checked out and bored, but they couldn't tell each other. Everyone used to be, you know, nice citizens and sit there and suffer. But now they, you know, people are unhappy. They can talk to each other. Then they can read a tweet that, oh, Nancy's talk in this other ballroom was more interesting. They just get up and leave. They don't even, their time is too precious now. And I think speakers haven't treated the audience like the hero, like this is a precious moment for us to share together. And I'm going to prove to you I value you by spending time on my talk. They just don't. They just don't do that. And the people that do spend time on a talk and make it meaningful, they'll abandon you as a presenter and they'll go find somebody else who's worth their time.
Is there any particular tool that you'd recommend a communicator, speechwriter, or presenter who's thinking of getting into a more digital approach to this that you'd recommend they check out?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't know. I'm kind of a staid and true person. I'm still using PowerPoint. People are shocked by that. But the reason I use PowerPoint is for a little used feature that it has. I spend a lot of my time in the outlining mode. A lot of people don't know that there's a slide mode and an outlining mode. So what I do is I cluster my thoughts and then I move them around and then move them around and move them around just in old-fashioned outlining. And I think that's a good way to look at the whole instead of the parts. And I know Keynote and Prezi and other tools don't have that. So as far as structuring it well, I actually kind of, you can double click on the headline and it collapses everything under it, all your supporting points, and then I just move it around. I write my books that way too. So it's kind of interesting for me when you're thinking about thoughtful content creation. I think actually PowerPoint for me is awesome. When you're talking about rich media, then Keynote actually handles anything. If you have like lots of rich media, lots of multiple media types, they should definitely use Keynote. As for Prezi, if you have a topic that makes sense to navigate spatially, then I absolutely think that you should use Prezi.
And any last tips for folks if you wanted to give one piece of advice to someone?
People really need to wake up at the power of this tool. You know, you look at things like the Arab Spring. Well, that's happening now. It's the audience spring. And I think people don't go in and look at their feed. They don't go back and realize or even thoughtfully consider. Maybe there's one or two comments, but you should really value what people are saying about you as a presenter, because it can really transform who you are if you take it to heart. I had some really harsh feedback about 6 years ago. Somebody said, wow, we didn't connect to you personally. You need to incorporate story, which was fascinating. And that's why I went on my own journey, was from a piece of critical feedback from someone. I dove into story and it's changed my life. It's changed my career. It's changed my firm because of a piece of critical feedback. Believe me, the social channels are full of critical feedback of presenters. So go and read it and take it to heart. I think that would be my piece of feedback.
So a fail tag can be your best
friend.
A
fail tag could be your best friend. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Nancy Duarte of Duarte Design. You can find her at duarte.com, duarte.com, and Duarte on Twitter. And since she didn't mention this, let me. Duarte has just launched a new service called Diagrammer. Think of it as iTunes for presentation diagrams. You can find it at duarteshop.com. It's terrific. Now, if you're wondering why this episode didn't feature Dex Torek Barton, who we previewed in the last episode, not to worry. He's in a new position, managing executive communications at Facebook, and we figured it would be great to talk about that experience along with the rest of his background. So look for Dex in an upcoming episode. And speaking of upcoming episodes, next time I'll talk with JD Lassica from SocialBright and socialmedia.biz. He's a social media strategist for nonprofits and Fortune 500s alike, a really compelling speaker, and he has lots to share. You won't want to miss it. Now over to you. If you know a great tool or tip for using social networks and shared media in public speaking, if you have a cautionary tale, or if you have some thoughts about where all of this is headed, let me know. Share it with me on the show notes. Just visit socialsignal.com/social-speech and look for the podcast link. Or email me, rob@socialsignal.com. The music for this podcast is Cold Cloth and an Ice Pack by the wonderful late Derek Miller. You can find this song and many others under a Creative Commons license at penmachine.com. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.